Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure. Thanks for the business. Thanks for the food. Are you thanking your customers for the food these days? I think you ought to be doing that. I think when somebody gives you their money and says, yes, I'll take that, you should say, oh, John, I'm glad you came in. And by the way, thanks for the food. Tamar Jacoby knows about what I'm talking about. She has customers, too. And Tamar, as you know, is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's the president of Immigration Works USA, and she's one of the world's experts on immigration and how it impacts our society, our marketplace, the workforce, your small business, my small business, and of course politics. And of course, as you know, immigration, even though it's not really all that much on the front burner at this very moment in the debate, it is going to be one big debate's coming up on Friday, and then the others to come, two, a couple of three others, VP and presidential debates are coming up later. So I promise you, this issue of immigration will be part of those debates, and so we're going to get Tamar Jacoby to help us out with that. Tamar, welcome back to the show.
Nice to be here, Jim.
It's just a matter of a couple of days, isn't it, before immigration gets back on the front burner? Because
I wonder if these guys will talk about it. I wonder
really?
If they will. Because, I think the good news is that both presidential candidates realize that we need to change the system, that the system is broken. But, you know, it doesn't make a very good electoral issue because the guys who say send them home or we don't need them or fixing the system would be amnesty, it's a lot easier. Their arguments fit on a bumper sticker, and it's a lot easier to make them, and the arguments are a lot more emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Our argument is a little bit harder to explain. We need the workers, and it's better if they're legal. That's a lot harder than, aren't you scared of these people?
Yeah, there are more, as you say, you're sort of cutting across some emotional issues when you try to be pragmatic like that, aren't you?
Exactly. So it's emotion versus pragmatism, and the emotion telegraphs itself a lot more quickly. So none of the presidential, unless you're going to exploit this, the president, no political candidate really wants it to be a major issue. I mean, they have to say something to Hispanic voters, but
mm-hmm.
I bet you they're both hoping that this doesn't come up in a debate.
Hmm. Are they very far apart, the two candidates?
No, they're almost identical.
Isn't that the reason, if it doesn't come up much, isn't that the primary reason?
Well, again, even if you know, arguably, see, the trouble is, I mean, even if somebody like Romney had been the nominee, when he was campaigning in the primaries, he wanted to use it because he wanted to use it to get people to get people angry and voting for him.
Right.
But in a general election, wouldn't want it to come up much because it would only, you know, if he got some voters with it, he'd be alienating others. It's just too, it's not a good issue in a big general election.
Primarily, is that because if their stance is fairly strict and maybe not completely friendly to the Hispanic way of thinking,
it's a loser
for them, and if they don't bring it up, you know, maybe it'll just kind of get swept under the rug, and people will forget about how I feel about these things.
Well, yeah, if you tilt one way, you lose Hispanics, and if you tilt the other way, you lose Bubba voters. And
yeah.
You don't only lose Hispanics at this point. I think you lose, if you sound like too much of a bigot, you lose, you know, ordinary Americans. I mean,
are there Bubba voters in New York City?
There are Bubba voters everywhere, sure.
Okay, are there Guido voters? Are they just Bubba voters?
I don't know what's a Guido voter.
Well, I think that's a Bubba voter in New York, maybe, or New Jersey.
Maybe. Look, I call them Lou Dobbs voters, actually.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Now, Lou Dobbs is a Bubba. There's no question about that.
Lou Dobbs is
dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be glad to tell him that to his face. But Lou Dobbs is a very he's only dangerous in that he's got a pulpit. He's not. His message is not so dangerous because his message is totally, irrational. But frankly inaccurate, I think, tomorrow. But anyway.
And the truth is, no poll shows more than 20 or 25% of the voters being with him. I mean, if you landed on Mars a year ago during the immigration debate, you would have thought that 100% or 90%
right.
of Americans were with him.
Yeah.
It's just not true.
The only good news about that is not too many people watch CNN anymore. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. When we come back, I'm going to get Tamar to help us in.
Your love give me such a thrill, but your love don't pay my bills. I need
That's exactly what we all say, isn't it? I need money. Congress is saying that, or I should say, the Treasury Department and the Fed is saying that to Congress right now. I need money. 700, no, I got to get my numbers correct here, folks. Got to get my decimal places put in the right place. $700 billion that with tax and title fees and origination and dealer prep and all, that's probably going to be $1 trillion. That's what's going on in the debate right now. But right now we're talking with our good friend, Tamar Jacoby. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm your host, as you know. Tamar is our guest, and she's the president of Immigration Works USA. Tamar, we agree that if immigration isn't a big issue in the debate this year, it's because there's not that much difference between the candidates, and there's no real edge for either one of them to get at the other one, and if it is brought up, somebody is going to lose when if they keep it off the table. Neither one will lose on that issue,
right?
And so here's the maybe the bigger question that maybe will get this thing brought to into the debate. What does the immigration debate have to do with small business? Tell us why small business owners, which as you know, Tamar, as I've said many times, when you add up the owners and the employees, is about 100 million Americans. Did you know that number?
I did
owners,
not know that number.
Small
that
business owners
really
and
yeah.
employees.
Yeah,
100 million Americans, one-third
that's
of America.
That's one-third. That's a good chunk.
And so why should we actually, in with everything else going on,
why should we care?
Yeah.
You should care. We should care because it's a labor force issue. The reason we have a problem with immigration, the reason we have all this illegal immigration is that we need workers to do jobs that Americans are getting too educated to do. Our workforce mm-hmm. is getting older. It's growing much less fast. It's not shrinking yet, but it's growing much less fast. And it's most important, it's getting more and more educated. So it's not the businesses that employ immigrants, they're not looking for cheap labor. Most of them are looking for labor, period. We don't have the rest of the workforce. The 16 to 25-year-old workforce that usually works in restaurants, that workforce is shrinking now,
mm-hmm.
literally shrinking.
Well, I don't know that the numbers are shrinking tomorrow as much as the attitude is shrinking.
Well, that's
I mean,
true.
Young people don't.
That
young,
too.
You know, when I was a kid, I was looking for a job to get off the farm. I mean, I wanted a job where I could make some money. Because I lived on a farm working for my mom and my dad on the farm. I wanted a job, and so I flipped hamburgers for my senior year in high school, so I could make some money. And I don't think the young kids do that. I mean, well, go into a burger place and a grocery store these days, and see if you see a bunch of 17-year-olds. You see some, but not like they used to be.
Well, they get internships in the summer, and they go abroad somewhere, and they're getting their resume ready for college. I mean, it's not bad. They're not. I mean, you're right. They're not working as hard, but they're also working at more sophisticated things.
Yeah.
And the point is, so farms and fast food and restaurants and hotels and meat processing and construction, they mm-hmm. need workers.
Especially construction.
Especially construction. And
I'll tell you something else, too. I'll tell you something else, too, Tamar. Those, when you see a Hispanic construction crew, they get after it, buddy. They work hard. And I'll tell you something else. They work on Saturday and Sunday.
And it's not because they're being exploited, necessarily.
No.
It's because
they like
the
work. They
exactly.
like the work.
And that has a ripple effect for other kinds of small businesses. Because if you're a store in a town where there are a lot of immigrant workers, after they come out off the farm or out of the plant or off the site, they spend money. And so,
yep.
you know, sure, we could, but they have a saying in Texas, these Mexican workers are going to pick the fruits and vegetables no matter what. The only question is which side of the border they're going to pick them on.
Exactly.
Well, if that means if the farms are in the U.S. and they pick them here, when they're done with work, they spend their money in American stores and they buy American mm-hmm. Groceries. And
I've been saying for a long time, Tamar, that if you have a small business and you don't have a Hispanic strategy, some way of reaching out to the Hispanic community, you're missing an opportunity.
And so, you know, if we took the 7 million illegal workers who are now working in the U.S. and all of those businesses that they were working for moved to Mexico or Canada or somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
that's 7 million fewer consumers in the economy here in the U.S.
And if you think about headroom in terms of employment, Tamar, I mean, if you think about the economy has been having a tough time now for a year, and yet unemployment is barely at 6%. I mean, that coincides, that completely dovetails with what some of my economists have told us on the show, and that is that in America, there may be as many as 2 million jobs going wanting, positions that are available that can't be filled because we don't have enough people.
Right.
Our economy, Tamar, is double what it was in 1990. We've more than doubled our economy in the last 18 years, and we haven't doubled our workforce in that time.
Right. That's really interesting.
Immigration or not, and so a lot of the productivity has been created by technology, but not all of it. And so, folks, there's a lot of position job headroom out there that needs to be filled, and I think it's a crisis waiting to happen. Not having enough workers. That's an American crisis. Down the road. Tintail, stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. That's little Van Halen bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Small business advocate Tamar Jacoby is our guest. Tamar is president of Immigration Works USA. Do I put a .org on that, Tamar?
Yes, you do.
Say it again.
Yes, immigrationworksusa.org.
Tell us what we'll find when we get there.
Yes. What you'll find is you'll find why small business should be involved in this issue. We're trying to build the businesses have the biggest stake of anybody in America in fixing our broken immigration system, in fixing it so that businesses can get the labor they need.
What should we do? What should we do?
We're trying to build the fighting machine of businesses that are politically involved in this, business owners who are willing to speak out, business owners who are willing
what
to...
What are we supposed to speak out about?
Well, talk to the public about employers who employ immigrants and who mm-hmm. realize that they couldn't be growing their business without them need to be telling the public and eventually Congress that. Legislators in their states, public in their states, and ultimately members of Congress. Now, right now, nobody in either place can listen to bad immigration this week. Nobody's
Right.
That interested.
But now you're not a send them all home kind of person. I mean, that's not your philosophy, right? That's not
no,
your.
No, my philosophy is we need the workers, and it would be better for everybody in America if they were legal.
Even if we had to swallow the amnesty thing a little bit, is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think it should be amnesty. I think we should make them earn their way.
Why don't we just put
them?
Why don't we just put them on the road to citizenship?
Well, and accept that they are here. I mean, some people have trouble.
The elephant is already in the living room. We can't get rid of it, right?
We can't get rid of it. We're not going to deport 12 million people.
Right.
So, you know, we got to deport some. We deport the criminals in hard economic times. Some will go home.
Yeah.
But we're not going to get rid of 12 million people. Let's own up to it and figure out a way for them. We can argue about exactly mm-hmm. what penalties they have to pay and exactly do they get to be citizens or not. I'm willing to argue about that. But we've got to get them onto the right side of the law. And we've got to, for the sake of our economy, for our sake, and for the sake of our security, we've got to find a legal way for people to come in the future so we don't continue living with a two-tier system like this.
Mm-hmm. And, you know,
Owners have the biggest stake. Owners have the biggest stake. All Americans have a stake. But business owners...
So you're saying that... But one of the things one of the problems is the people who need these workers are not likely to surface, are they?
Well, they are surfacing increasingly.
Doesn't that shine a light on what they're doing?
Well... It does, but if enforcement is getting tougher and tougher, and if we got to the point where there was enforcement was so tough that they really were deprived of their workforce, they'd be in a lot of trouble. what we're trying to do is create ways for people to speak out. If you create a coalition that's mostly made up of trade associations and some gutsy employers, mm-hmm. and then those coalitions speak out, and then you kind of create some political space for others who don't want to stick their heads above the trench line, at least to write to their member of Congress.
Right.
You know, you can create a political voice.
But can't these people who maybe don't want to be visible, these companies who don't want to be visible, mm-hmm. What they can do is they can support an organization like yours that will take
exactly.
the debate to the marketplace.
Exactly, exactly.
And see, one of the reasons why I'm proud of what Tamar is doing, ladies and gentlemen, and why I encourage you, if this is an issue that's of interest to you, I encourage you to find out what she's up to and how to support her, because she can take your position if you agree with her. If you don't agree with her, you need to do something else. But if you agree with what she's saying, she's a pragmatic person. The message of her organization is very pragmatic. Whether there's some stuff that we got to swallow. If you believe in that, then support an organization like hers or others. Let them take the debate to the marketplace, and then you encourage them with your encouragement, with your resources.
We're just not going to get this changed unless business and small business in particular steps up to the plate. Because there's people don't get involved in politics unless they have a stake in it.
Right.
And nobody really has as much of a stake in having these workers be legal as business. I mean,
and it's also not the big pain point right now in the debate. And so I think you're right. I think there won't be a lot of this in coming up in the presidential debate over the next couple of months.
No, this won't get fixed until we start to come out of the recession and people really realize that they need the workers.
Tamar, give us the website one more time.
We're building the army now for that battle, even though that battle may not be in a year. It's immigrationworksusa.org.
Thanks, Tamar, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Jim, thank you.
Tamar Jacoby, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back. I will be, too, in the next hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.